Hello. So before I begin this podcast, I'd like to reemphasize the fact that PhysioMentalist is here to help you. As a physiotherapist student and as a young physiotherapist, feel free to reach out to us. All right, so now we'll be talking about the changes that occur in the human body when subjected to a long-term bed rest or just immobile for a long time. So basically what happens is that when our body is subjected to prolonged bed rest, the systems start failing individually. What do I mean by that? The deleterious changes that occur in each of the systems that make our body during this prolonged bed rest, and that is what we'll be emphasizing in this session before going deeper into how the physiotherapist can help in the situation. All right, let's start with the cardiovascular system. The first thing that usually occur when a person is subjected to a prolonged bed rest is that the blood is redistributed. It's redistribution of blood from the lower limbs to the thoracic cavity. Because, I mean, the patient or the person will be lying down. So now blood moves from the lower limbs to the thoracic cavity. And what does that do to the body? It increases the cardiac workload. It increases the workload. The venous return has increased. The blood gets to the atrium. It stretches it. So it stretches the right atrium. And what does that do? The body tries to balance it up. So the stretching of the right atrium releases the ANPs, what we call atrial natriuretic peptide. An AMP tries to balance this entire thing by increasing urine production. That's what it does. It increases urine production, just trying to reduce blood volume so that the reduced blood volume can cancel out the increased cardiac workload. So at that point, the blood pressure is reduced because of what? Increased urination, because of the reduction in blood volume, that leads to the reduction in blood volume rather, and subsequently leads to a reduction in blood pressure. This reduction, drastic reduction in blood pressure, is detected over time by what we usually call the baroreceptors. So these baroreceptors are around the aorta and the carotid arches. They get stimulated because of the signal they get when the blood pressure is reduced. And what do? They stimulate the release of a substance that can counter the effect of the AMPs. So they release antidiuretic hormone. And from the name antidiuretic, anti working against diuretic, the increase in urine production. So basically what they do is they facilitate water reabsorption and subsequently a reduction in diuresis, urine production. So cardiovascular system, basically the arteries increases, there's a reduction in the systolic ejection time. Then also, postural hypotension, especially after like 20, 24 hours of bed rest, there's an increased risk of postural hypotension, DVT to deep vein thrombosis. There's this triad we call, I'm not sure if I know the right pronunciation, but virtual triad, VIRCHOW triad. So the triad includes venostasis, hypercoagulability, and vessel damage. So the three of them: venostasis, hypercoagulability, vessel damage. So the three of them increases the risk of having a DVT, a deep vein thrombosis. So what happened to the respiratory system? I mean, there are other things that happen. So this is just like briefly explaining, so you have an idea what is going on in the respiratory system. There's a reduction in the movement of rib cage. Why? I mentioned earlier that there is an increased blood flow to the chest, and also, if you try to go deeper, it relates to, okay, I can't remember at the moment, but the reduction in the movement of rib cage leads to the reduction in the total lung capacity, reduction in the reserve volume, and all of that. So that means that a patient that is on prolonged bed rest has a reduction in their tidal volume, their total lung capacity, their residual volume. Yeah, don't be shocked. And also, lying down for a long time increases the chances of mucus accumulation. Why? Gravity is working. Gravity is pulling down the mucus and preventing them from sliding down as they normally would, because gravity aids their movement. But now that they are walking, gravity keeps them stuck on the respiratory tract wall, and that can be further aggravated by dehydration. Don't forget dehydration, that occurs when the AMP is stimulated earlier by the stretch of the right atrium. So all of them just work together, and boom, the patient is in trouble. So what else happened? The musculoskeletal system, the most common one, the muscle proteins start decaying, all of them, myosin, actin, all of them, triple myosin, they start decaying with time. That leads to muscle atrophy, sarcomere absorption. What else happens? For the muscular system, the non-contractile part of the muscle has collagen, elastin, rectin inside. The collagen, most especially, reduced in size. There's a reduction in size and number of collagen fiber. The collagen load tolerance reduces. There is what we call disorganization of collagen fiber organization, interlocking, and all of that leads to reduction in total muscle mass. One, reduction in the load tolerance of the non-contractile part of the muscle, the tendon, the ligament. Also, the points where the ligaments attach to the bone, that site that is so metabolically active, is could experience bone resorption because it has some is a link between the ligament and the bone, so it has some bone cells inside, so it could, and all of that would increase the chances of the patient having ligament strains, I mean ligament sprains rather. What else? Like I said, there's a lot of things that happen. The articular cartilage too. Yeah, the same explanation. Collagen gone. Proteoglycan reduced. Proteoglycan organization is gone. There's softening and fragmentation of the chondral surface of the cartilage. So all of this is happening while the patient is lying down for a long time. So this calls for, I mean, there are other things though, there are other systems that get affected. during the mobility, the process of bone formation ceases. So the activity of osteoclasts continues, and this results into the loss of bone density. And if the bone density is reduced, then it leads to a soft, weak bone, a soft, weak structure that is prone to fracture and some other things. And if osteoclasts continues working, it means that the circulating calcium in the body has increased. And within a few days, the increased calcium will get to the kidney and could lead into conditions like renal calculus. So everything works together. What else? The urinary system. To understand what happens in the urinary system, you need to picture this. You know, when the bladder fills, normally, when the our bladder fills, there is pressure on its wall. Not just the wall, the cervix, the urinary sphincter. There is pressure. This pressure stimulates urinary urgency. In supine position, the effect of gravity and the negative the effect of gravity and that urge, the urgency, that's what stimulates. How do I put this? The effect of gravity and it's the stretch that I explained earlier from the wall increases. So gravity, when we are lying down, so when a patient is lying down for a long time in a supine position, there is the effect of gravity is negative in that position. So it leads to lesser stretching of the walls, because normally, like I said, there is a lot of pressure against the wall of the bladder. When it fills, gravity is pulling the urine down the wall, the cervix, the sphincter are trying to hold it in there, but when you lie down, that is reduced. So after like a while lying down, the bladder overfills. So the overfilling of the bladder leads to stretching of the muscles, the detrusor muscles. And after a prolonged period of time, the stretch receptors lose the ability to be stimulated. And that leads to the loss of sensation of urinary urgency that I explained earlier. And aside that, the bladder, the effect of gravity pulling down the urine instead of pulling it out, like it usually does if when we move around. The absence of gravity hinders the complete emptying of the bladder, and that could predispose to the growth of bacteria. Integumentary system to development of pressure sore and all of that. So there's a lot that happened, but the good thing is, when you refer a patient to physiotherapy or for physiotherapy, each of these things are dealt with. First, we take measurements to know what has happened and which do we need to prevent, which do we need to improve, which do we need to facilitate. And then we'll make plans and we target each of the system according to what they need. So it is right. It is the right thing for you to refer rather than prescribe what we do. Yeah. Hey, I'm sure you've learned one thing or the other. Don't go yet though. Check the list of our recorded podcast and find one more to listen to. My name is Abbas Ademola.